One, two, three, four, five. Love University is back in session.
Yes, it is.
I'm your host, Nacho, Nachin, Ignacio Sandoval.
That's right. You brought the nachos today. I can see you're a little hungry.
I got the flavor here. Dr. Avila, how are you?
I'm doing great. This is going to be a wonderful day today. We have something very exciting planned for us in Love University.
Yeah.
Now we're getting to the fall semester, right? We're getting close to finals, right?
Time is flying. Time is flying. You know, winter break is coming.
Exactly.
Everybody's getting ready for it.
A lot of exciting things are happening. But today's topic is really going to be very interesting. It's called Keep On Dreaming, From Immigrant to Invincible, The True Story of Myra Cernas. We have a special guest today.
Mm-hmm.
And to introduce her, before I do that, let me talk about dreaming, because dreaming is basically looking at the future, right? Your goals,
right.
Your plans. In ancient times, there was a young man who was a dreamer, but he had a dream that he was better than his brothers, so his brothers got very jealous,
mm-hmm.
and they threw him in a well. He ended up in a foreign country in jail, but eventually he started to dream, and the leader of the country respected him because he could foretell the future with his dreams.
Really? So he was able kind of to meditate and go into that realm of predictivity.
The future, yeah, exactly. So he actually was taken out of jail and put as a number two position in the whole country, so he was very highly prized for his abilities as an immigrant. So we think about people that come from other countries, right? People that dream, and they're here for a reason, right? They want to accomplish something great.
Definitely. And right here, we're not preaching any kind of politics or mm-hmm. anything like that. We're just showing you the side that it's on this side right now, an individual that hasn't let circumstances hold her back, because that dreamer title comes with action. And that's who these people are, not individuals that are just here just to take advantage of a system. No,
definitely.
They're part of the system. Well, they just want to be recognized.
Exactly, the psychological side of dreaming. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Myra. Myra,
hi.
Good to see you. Good to see you here today.
Nice to meet you.
Now, I got a microphone, Myra. There you go. Got it.
So tell us about being a dreamer. Like, I mean, what does that mean? I know there's a legal terminology, and then there's a real part of it, too. What does it mean to you?
To me, it means just like any other person, whether they're from here or not, you know, we all have dreams.
Mm-hmm.
When we're young, people ask us, like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I feel like it's when we talk about specifically Latin people being dreamers, or, you know, people that are not from here, it's just, they make it look so, like, surreal. But the reality is we all are dreamers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All as human beings. And, yeah, that's what I think.
Okay.
So let me ask her a basic question, because you threw off Dr. No, that's a good one. No, it's at the end of the day, right here, we're having a conversation with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Myra can be our neighbor. She can be our classmate.
Exactly.
She can be our coworker.
Mm-hmm.
And being a dreamer hasn't stopped her, because she's going to tell us all the things that she's been doing right now. But the idea today, when Dr. Avila reached out to me during the week, he's like, look, we have this great topic.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's a great idea? I said, Dr. Avila, I trust your judgment. Mm-hmm. You trust mine.
Yes.
Let's go with it. And
definitely,
man, thank you so much.
No problem. Because, you know, the term dreamer has many connotations. But let me first tell you about Myra. Myra was born in Oaxaca, Mexico. I came here as a child with her parents. And then graduated with a bachelor's degree in business from Cal State Dominguez Hills. And currently works in a law firm. And I believe you want to be perhaps a master's in therapist someday?
Yes, I would like to go back to school if I have the opportunity. When I was going to school before, I was always stressed out because I had to work and I had to worry about bills and family situations. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really enjoy going to school because it was very stressful.
It was a system for you.
It was really. So now I've learned to appreciate learning. Like, I want to learn more. There's a lot to learn every day.
It becomes a vice. How Dr. Avila has like 5,000 PhDs.
Yeah, definitely wisdom.
Exactly. And I mean, I feel like if I had the opportunity, if I could go back to school now, I would love to. Mm-hmm. And I could go back forever if that was possible. But I appreciate having knowledge and
that's wonderful. Well, that's exactly what Love University is about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is giving people inner knowledge, right? To
mm-hmm.
improve their lives, to help people, to have relationships.
How do you feel right now, being a dreamer and facing these tough times, mm-hmm. as having that passion to continue, but yet having that hurdle that doesn't let you?
Well, I've tried to not let it get to me, because there's so much information out there. We're always talking about the dreamers and what's going on mm-hmm. in Congress right now. And
so just tell us, politics. For those of us that don't know, what is a dreamer? What is this DACA Act?
The Deferred Action was created to support undocumented students that mm-hmm. were brought here as children, and it was basically created to give children opportunity to, or students the opportunity to continue going to school and to have the opportunity to work here.
How old are you, Myra?
27.
Wow, you look very young.
I know.
that's good though, because
yeah, when she's 40, she'll look nice, right?
Yeah. The thing is that I say that like how young she is because. You know, a lot of people, going back to the stress factor, we always discuss it here. Yes. Dr. Avila, you agree with me.
Right.
It's a hindering effect that hinders all of us in today's society.
Yes.
But if I was in her shoes, being a dreamer, being in this turmoil, I'll be stressed out. I wouldn't look as nice as you do. That's what I'm getting at. You know, like, how is it that you can cope with
this? Well, yeah, because, you know, immigrant stress actually is a psychological phenomenon, you know.
It sure
is. The fact of fear of, you know, being deported or being separated from your family, right? You know, when people come here.
Definitely. I mean, I've had episodes where I felt really scared. And I don't know. There was a point when I decided that I wasn't going to be scared anymore. I don't know what triggered that.
I
feel like there was all these things going on, especially after it was announced that it was perhaps going, you know, be taken away. So that really, people were texting me and calling me, and I was like, you know what? I mean, I don't know if I want to feel like that person, like the victim, and.
Yeah.
I understand people are fighting right now to support it, and I appreciate that. And I support it, obviously, but I decided I can't live like this. This is ridiculous. Like, you know, I'm 27. If I continue stressing out about this, I'm going to look old now, and I don't want to.
That is true. You know, that's a great attitude, Dr. Avila, because you do have a choice at the end of the day in life, whether to go in the dark or the light, right?
Definitely. Exactly. Yeah, well, you said, I'm not going to be scared anymore. That's like you're saying to your computer, right, your brain.
Exactly.
You know, that you're moving away from the fear. And fear is one of the things that destroys people, you know, that keeps people down.
Yeah.
And the opposite of fear is faith or love. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, where did you get that faith or love? I mean, where did you find that?
I don't even know if I can figure it out because I've been through a long journey, and I've gone through through many situations, many unfortunate situations with my family, with relationships, and even with work. So.
At your early age, you already faced a lot of things in life, so you're a survivor.
Yeah, I mean, I was depressed at one point. I mean, I've been through that. I mean, I think some of us have.
I think the brave ones are the ones that accept it, right, Dr. Avila? Because if you accept that you were living in that depression, you don't live there anymore. You're already recognizing that you're not there anymore, and it takes guts to be there.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's hard. It's not easy to just sort of like make that switch. Because our brains are, I mean, they're incredible, right? They can completely turn us around, and we can just...
just the power of the mind.
We cannot... I mean, there were times where I just, like, I couldn't even explain what was happening in my head. And it took a while to really get to that point where I decided, you know what? I have a young brother. He's 11 years old, and I always push... his education is like my number one priority.
Go through,
And there's hope. I mean, I think that's one
that's
of
the
things.
That's the word, hope. That's the word.
That, yes. I think that's what happened. I realized there's hope. I can't sit here and feel sorry for myself forever because it's not taking me anywhere.
A little tangent question. In your situation, your family members are also in the same situation?
So I have two older brothers that actually are not here in the U.S. They had a lot of issues growing up, and they abused drugs.
Yeah, so they're on the other side.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes I think about it, and I wonder if they started to feel the pressure as teenagers, and they probably realized, you know, obviously they realized earlier than I did what was really going on, what we were going to be put through. With the system that they had back then, and they started abusing drugs and alcohol.
But Myra, I was going to say what I like about what you're saying is that you mentioned the word hope. So basically, you're seeing through the eyes of the 11-year-old boy, you know, his hope for the future.
Right.
And that instills in you hope. You know, you're basically, you know, basically looking at forecasting the future, right? You're seeing his opportunities, perhaps, you know, being here in America, right? Mm-hmm. So that brings something to you special.
Yeah.
That can get you out of your depression, right?
My brother's...
The beautiful thing is that she is that light in the family. That's why I was asking, how's the situation? Mm-hmm. Even though it's hard, she's still that beacon.
I mean, it was very hard because there was a point where... when I felt like I was like fighting everyone, I was the only one kind of trying to keep it together. My mom, of course, was feeling very stressed, very worried about my brothers. And I didn't mention that my dad is also an alcoholic, and that's part of why my brothers
started that was the influence.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Whole different topic. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I felt I was fighting against a huge force. This is even before I realized that I had to fight this other situation.
Mara, how old were you when you first came to the U.S.?
I was 9, and then I went back to Mexico for 2 years because my grandma was sick. Yes. It's something that happens to a lot of Latin people. Yes. They go back home for grandparents or something like that are ill, and then I came back 2 years later.
So you're kind of pretty acculturated in the U.S. You came pretty young. But, you know, Gina, I want to ask you this question, too. Mm-hmm. You know, research shows that the second generation often has more mental health problems than the first generation because they're caught in two worlds.
That's true.
The first generation, you know, they have the more traditional values, so they want their kids to follow those values. You know, you have respect, you got to do this. But at the same time, they want their kids to learn the modern technology and help them with the new ways. Yeah. So there's a lot of fights, a lot of conflicts. Yeah. Now, I know you're second generation, right?
No, I'm first generation.
So you were born in Mexico, too?
I was born in Mexico. I was brought here at the age of 9.
Oh, so you're a dreamer, too?
I was a dreamer because right before I went out of high school, before I graduated,
a dreamer.
Right before I graduated, like a year before that, I was able to get my papers.
And that was
the only reason why I was able to go to college.
Through family members, or how did you do it?
Through my father, my late father. Oh. But it was kind of like a bad situation for my brother because he's 2 years older than me.
Right.
And he had a full ride scholarship to play soccer, and they were already scouting him for UCLA. Mm. And he couldn't go because he didn't have the papers.
Yes.
And the coach back then didn't give him the scholarship because of that and gave it to his son. So it's these things that we grew up with, and we don't see them as stigmas or anything like that. We just see it as like another wall to break down.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Mark, did you go through any of that, like the conflicts between the old and new generation?
I guess not really. I don't think I did. I mean,
I think what's helping Myra in this ride, Dr. Avila, is what you mentioned. She's more into the culture, so she's able to see a little bit further down than her first family. I mean, her first generation, her mom and dad and the brothers they lost hope, but she has the knowledge and the hope.
Yeah, obviously at first, like I said, it was a lot to break through, but I surrounded myself when I was falling. Basically, I began surrounding myself with positive people, strong people, educated people, and that definitely helped me a lot.
You know, I see something about Myra. Even in this talk, she started out a little bit quiet, maybe a little shy, uncomfortable. But I see as you talk more, you're getting more comfortable, and you're very intelligent. So it's a matter of opening up, right, to what you want to say.
This is all my own, you know, my own little traumas right now.
See this as your therapy session with Dr. Avila and a host, Nachi, next
free,
to you guys.
It's free, right? So
free 99 today.
And also to help other people, because a lot of what we do is really inspiring people. There are a lot of people listening today all over the world. We just got our new statistics, Nachi, and we're just killing it, right, all over the world.
Thank goodness, and thank you for listening to us everywhere, wherever you may be.
Mexico is number 2 in our list, you know, Spain. You know,
great.
So we're doing really international things.
Brazil, all over the place. And we like the fact that we do this podcast with the only intention to bring light to others.
And love.
And love.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here for, and that's what we want to bring here through your steps in life, through your journey. Show others that regardless of all the things, for instance, that you're mentioning, you're still a trooper and you're still writing it. You know?
Talking about dreams and even goals, because I know you have goals for the future. And, you know, goals are important, you know, basically having specific goals that you can measure, having goals that are challenging but achievable, and having approach goals, things you go toward as opposed to away.
Yeah.
I often ask my students, would you rather get an A or avoid an F? A lot of people say avoid the F, but that's not going to motivate you, right?
Right.
But what would motivate you?
I always went for the A's, Dr. I was a nerd. Honestly, I was a nerd.
Honestly, I wasn't. I'm going to be honest. I wasn't a nerd.
Even with those glasses, not a nerd?
Yeah, I might look like a nerd, but I struggle when I went to school. I might look super smart, but I'm... I mean, there were certain subjects that I just couldn't.
But, you know, like you said, Dr. Avila, every individual has a different strength, right? Like some for the arts, other for the practical.
Yeah, they're different intelligences. Mm-hmm. We talk about some people are good at verbal, some are good at social skills, mm-hmm. Some are caretakers.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, with goals, you got to think about there's a difference between who you are and who you want to be. You know, there could be a gap, you know, in terms of what you want. Also, there's a difference between how people see you, the family members, and how you see yourself. Mm-hmm. And with Latinos, I think that's a big issue sometimes. They want you to be a certain career, perhaps something very traditional.
Oh,
and you might want to be a singer or a dancer, who knows, right? Or entertainer or creative person.
But there's like that barrier of identity that you don't know what to be. There's a Spanish song called Nene Nene, ¿Qué vas a hacer cuando seas grande? By Miguel Mateos. Mm-hmm. And that song was pretty much a saying is like, I'm lost. I'm walking through life. Everybody's telling me to be somebody, but who am I going to be? So I think right now brings us to your point that identity.
Identity, right? And the difference, perception and reality, right? And who you want to be. And the other thing I want to ask you, Myra, this is interesting. A lot of my students and also even, you know, coworkers, clients are Latino. And sometimes they're doing great in school and they say, well, I got to go to Mexico for 2 months. I'm dropping out of school. I get very disappointed. But, you know, they want to love their family, but at the same time, they're conflicted.
Yeah.
As if, you know, they're different goals. How do you see that part of it? Many times Latinos give up their advancement for their family.
It's a really interesting dynamic, I think, because I see it with my family. I mean, in my extended family, we have these values that sometimes we don't realize aren't necessarily going to support our education. It's very simple. Like if you see how, for example, like when we have celebrations, right? It's a huge thing.
Okay. Like quinceañera?
My family isn't like super, we don't celebrate a lot because my dad is like fiestas. Not a super fiesta, but my mom is. And I see how huge these events are. Mm. I didn't have a quinceañera.
And all the money that goes
especially
into it,
people from your state in Mexico.
You got
Oaxaca people. Oh, they.
And by the way, the food is great. I love that food.
The food is great.
Mole.
The food is great. Yeah. And it's a very nice, I love to see the events, the special celebrations, because they're very cool. Like the Día de los Muertos is coming up. Mm-hmm. I was really, growing up, I used to experience that in my hometown, and it was beautiful. I loved it. But at the same time, it's like I always found myself in this conflict where I was like, well, I love my culture, I love all this, but at the same time, I can't really like. I always found myself fighting this force where I felt like I don't want to have a quinceañera. I don't think it's right because my I wish my parents would say, you know, okay, we have like some parents save all this money for the quinceañera. I've heard some parents do that.
So how much does it cost? Would it be like 5,000 or more?
It depends. Well,
that's the dress, Dr.
I guess it depends, right?
Yeah. Some girls go all out.
Maybe
they want
10,000 maybe.
No, minimum a haul, you're going to spend at least $20,000.
No way. Are you sure?
And that's my point. Insane. It's like,
instead of a college education,
I wish
you see what the balance is. Yeah.
I wish that mentality would change, right?
Yeah.
And it's not that I have anything against my culture, but I just don't see how that makes sense.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you how it makes sense. I'm a little bit older. I went through that struggle too, and I found myself already, but in between that ride, I remember that my family would be like, when I graduated from college, my mom put a great party for me, and I was like, okay, it's not the value. She said something that made a lot of sense in our culture, and you're going to agree with me. Mm-hmm. She said, it's about the memories. Yes. I don't get to do this, but you doing this, graduating from college is only once, and I want to have that treasure because it means so much to me, and it's not so much about the money or what you can acquire. I want to give you the love that those are the memories you're going to have. And now that my mom is in heaven, I look back and that picture that I have with her is the thing that I value the most. But if she would have not done that, if I would have gone against her, because I felt bad, but then I saw the emotion. I'm like, it's the emotion. Right. For them, they haven't, it's like making up for everything they haven't given you.
Yeah, so it's creating love memories in a sense. Yeah. I mean, it's almost living in the moment with passion,
yeah,
which has advantages, right? You know, but I think what you're saying is the long term. I mean, an education can bring a lot more love and happiness too, right?
I mean, if you get it, right? I don't know.
So,
maybe
so that's the balance, right?
Yeah, I guess in my head, I've already made that decision. That
so you're going on for education.
I just okay. Yeah. I mean, it's I just feel like that's the only way out for my at least for me and my brother.
Of course. Okay. Yeah.
And I just don't see anything else that could be more important. Okay. Than that.
You know, what I face now, doctor, like. Right. I have my two BAs, theater and also literature. But
the first time you mentioned that on air. So,
yeah, that's true. Huh? Yeah,
you always underplay that. You don't want to talk too much about it.
Yeah, because you know what? A lot of people think like when you talk in a more educated way, you're bragging. And it's not about that. I'm very humble. But one of the things that I notice now that I'm away from the educational system in a sense, and I see other people and I see real life, like I see people without an education making more money than me.
Mm-hmm.
So an education does not guarantee you success, but it does give you a bigger opportunity, a bigger, bigger
it
wing.
It increases your odds, let's say.
It does.
Certain ways.
It increases your odds. And I mean, I think when I talk about education, I don't necessarily mean like a specific career,
like
right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, you know, to me, especially like, for example, history is very important, right? I just started really looking into history and, you know, many parts of the world and how it affects us today, tomorrow. And to me, that's really important to understand and to
so you want to grow on that in that sense. So that's kind of like, I guess, another hope in life, because I think subconsciously, Myra is kind of like already preparing herself for the worst. What if, you know what, this current administration says, okay, all dreamers, who cares? You're out. And they kick you out. She knows that with an education, that's the key to go anywhere. She can go to España. She can go to Mexico.
Anywhere in the country,
and expand that and be a professor. Be somebody because it's her brain. They cannot take that away from her.
I like that. That's a very strong statement.
Can't.
Yeah, that's good. They can't take it. Well, we can try, but no.
So wherever you may end up, hopefully here with us because you're a great vibe. You know what? I think what you're teaching us in this podcast is about having a great spirit, right, Dr. Avila?
I think so, yeah. And living, you know, with full passion, you know, and also seeing the future generations, right? The hope that you're creating for others is part of, you know, part of your path. But I know you've also been through some challenges. Now, you did mention alcoholism in the family. Now, this is a whole interesting complex. We can do a whole show on this, too.
Yeah.
But tell me so very briefly, was it your dad or mom?
Who's my dad. Okay. I know that he started drinking at a very young age because I believe he was second to oldest from all the siblings. And he did have a really harsh life growing up. So he started drinking at a young age. And then he stopped. And then when there was all this separation with the family and all these disappointments or whatnot, he started drinking again.
So give me an example. Would he drink like a tequila a day or what was the amount?
I never counted how much he drank, but I mean, there were times when he would come home very frustrated and just start talking really.
So he was drunk. Was
it? Disparaging, yeah.
Okay, and cervezas, beer.
I guess, yeah.
What happens in that mindset, Dr. Avila, when somebody's in a vice so into it that they only live, but are just kind of like floating through life because they don't care about what they project to others around them.
Well, they're caught in their own pain. I mean, you know, they're suffering, right? And, you know, that's a way to kind of minimize the pain temporarily and to escape from the pain.
Yeah.
But it creates more pain, obviously, because as a child, you experience it.
It creates a lot of pain.
And was there physical abuse and all that kind of stuff? And
No, he just, a lot of verbal abuse.
Verbal abuse.
Sometimes worse.
Saying bad words.
Worse.
Yeah, calling people.
And it just really, like, after you hear things, like, over and over again, you're kind of like, okay, I guess you're right.
That's true.
I mean, so.
And did you fall into addiction yourself or anything like that?
Well, I had moments where thankfully, I didn't do any of that stuff when I was in high school. Sort of after high school, I started, you know, doing
experimenting.
And there were times where I did some reckless stuff, but I caught myself, thankfully. But yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a blur, like I mentioned. I mean, it was just a moment where I felt like there was no hope. That's when I was really like rock bottom.
So what helped you get out of that, you know, the alcoholic family psychologically?
It was a long journey. Very, very long because, you know, when you grow up in an alcoholic family, to survive, you develop a lot of habits.
like hideaways also within
just
you?
Just random things, and you don't even realize. You start developing these behaviors that come out of
like
nowhere.
What?
It's like a one thing that I would do when I felt like things were getting out of control. I would just walk away. Walk away, walk away, walk away. Mm-hmm. And for example, I had a really great relationship with a man, and we were having this great partnership and growing, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes there were arguments, and I would just walk away like I couldn't deal with it. And he would look at me like, why do you do that? That's crazy. Like, you don't. Normal people don't do that. And then, you know, then you realize, well, why do I walk away? And then I have to, like, go back and
figure. It's a conditioning pattern.
Avoidance. You're avoiding.
I avoid
the emotional
the whole
turmoil
thing.
With your dad. So you do it with other relationships.
Exactly. And that's just one example.
So imagine if she was to become a lawyer and then the judge was like, well, what happened? I'm walking away. You're not giving me my wake.
This is too emotional.
I mean, and it was basically developing these behaviors that are not necessarily good behaviors.
Right.
They get you in trouble.
And subconsciously, until you become aware of them, that's when you fix them,
right,
Dr.
Yeah, I had to. I basically had to have all these.
Ni me peló. He didn't even listen to me.
I mean, when these people pointed those things out, it was kind of like I realized, okay, I have to do something about it. And I did seek professional help eventually.
Yeah, because you're talking about what we call defense mechanisms, which defend ourselves from the anxiety and the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many of them. You know, one is avoidance. Another one's rationalization, like coming up with reasons why things happen to you, you know, excuses why.
And you become a professor about it, right, at point, because
yeah,
you
much.
Try to justify one thing and after
oh,
the
so
other.
You,
right.
You start justifying stuff.
Yeah, why this didn't happen because of this, you know, so you come up with excuses. But see, avoidance, see, all these things are good short term. They actually protect yourself.
Right, they protect
But long term, they rebound effect. Like, if you don't avoid paying your parking tickets, what's going to happen eventually, right? They're going to tow your car, right?
Yeah.
And the people that do that, they just put away stuff, you know, or even relationships, right? They don't talk about it. It explodes, and then they leave, you know, like they break up suddenly.
Yeah.
So what did you learn to get away from avoidance? Or are you still learning that idea?
I feel like I'm mastering not running away, just sort of dealing with the situation.
Don't right run away from us if you don't like the podcast.
Well, she's about to leave right now. So being in the discomfort for a period of time.
Yeah. And actually talking about it helped me a lot.
Good.
In the therapy.
Because I used to be really like, I don't think I would talk about my dad's alcoholism or my brother's alcoholism because it's embarrassing.
And
right?
It hurts you.
Right.
Who wants to talk about these things? I mean, it's like, okay.
Now, how common is that in Latino families? Is that common or uncommon, the alcoholism, in the old school?
I'm going to say it's a bit common because we struggle so much, you know?
Okay, so it's kind of like a drug to
it's an easy, fast way of getting away from the world.
Easy fix. Yeah.
And it's also embedded in the culture because you're watching a TV show brought to you by cerveza, blah, blah, blah. Dude, it's all over.
They got the beer, right? You know,
yeah,
so it's all about the beer.
It's a lot of advertisement, and it goes with the sports. They know how to marry this to the culture when there's a sporting event, a soccer event.
A lot of beer.
Oh, we got the pretty girls from Nalga Light and showing all the nalgas. Yeah, here,
exactly.
I
have 10 beers. So that could be an issue. Alcoholism could be an issue to work on in the Latino community.
Oh, yeah. Right. It could be a... Yeah, definitely. I would love to. That's part of why I want to go back to study psychology.
Get your master's and be a therapist, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what ideas would you give to other people? I mean, everything you've gone through in life, you know, people that dream. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could be immigrants, or maybe they're even, you know, just people that are here, but they have a big dream, and they have, you know, maybe family problems, other issues. You know, what's your advice to them?
I would say... Definitely, it's not. Sometimes it's not going to be easy, and when we accept that, it kind of helps.
It becomes easy.
Yeah, because we're like, okay, you know, this is not going to be easy. So, okay, I'm just going to have to tough it up. Sometimes that helps.
And I guess in my case, I've also been down kind of like your similar path, but a little bit more on turning the corner already. Mm-hmm. What has helped me in my case has been that you deal with it. Action kills pain.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you start facing something, the moment you put action into it, you're not living no longer in your mind, your subconscious. You're being proactive.
Yeah.
Right. I like to say the word, take action despite the fear.
Yeah.
Despite it. You know, like, you know, a lot of people, they don't want to do something, they're afraid. But, you know, just take the little step, the one little step.
Yeah.
To do something. And I guess you are, right? I mean, you're here today in this podcast.
Yeah.
Which isn't always easy to do that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
but you wanted to share a story, right? And kind of tell us what inspired you.
Mm-hmm.
and with the hope you can give to other people. Mm-hmm. Now, Gina, I want to mention something. I haven't talked a lot about this, but I actually work with immigrants in my practice psychologically.
Oh, nice.
And there are ways actually you can get residency beyond you know, the DACA program. For example, this is called the 601 waiver.
Okay.
If you marry a U.S. citizen, you can actually get residency, but you have to have an evaluation psychologically for the U.S. citizen spouse. Because otherwise, they have to go back up to 10 years, your non-resident spouse.
Wow.
And most, you know, how would you feel if your husband went back to 10 years to Mexico or some other country? Mm. What would be your feelings?
Assuming that I love him.
Wow. You would go with him.
I'm joking.
New age love doesn't fall in love, right?
No, I would feel horrible. I mean,
right.
Gosh.
So depressed, anxious, exactly.
Of course.
So those are one evaluation. Also, there's something called victim of crime. If you're a victim of crime, you can get residency.
So there's ways to actually help people out if they wanted to, but they're not aware of these programs.
Yeah, and I can, you know, get my number later on. People are interested. Mm-hmm. You know, we can definitely advise on them. Yeah. You know, even political asylum. People heard of this where you're a victim of some persecution.
Mm-hmm.
It could be for sexual orientation. It could also be even post-traumatic stress disorder. Once you have a horrible traumatic circumstance, and even little kids can have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2-3 year olds. You know, they sense the pain and anguish of what's happened. So that's a, you know, important thing to look at. You know, and also coming from another country, there's PTSD. Sometimes,
yeah, definitely.
You know, the trauma of, you know, reliving the memories of, you know, the whole process that you came across.
Yeah, I mean, when I came here the first time, something I experienced a lot was I felt very ostracized when I went to school, because back then it was like, I guess it's never been really acceptable. Like when you enter like elementary school and then you don't know the language, so there's all these barriers.
Well, so you mentioned something about being a little darker or something like that, discrimination wise, you faced that as well.
Yeah.
Was that from your own kind?
That's happened from my own kind, which is kind of...
The lighter versus darker. Mm-hmm.
The lighter versus darker.
But now it's exotic, so enjoy it.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can turn it around. You know, the negative can be a positive. Mm-hmm. How can you turn the discrimination around mentally? I mean, how do you see that experience you went through?
Well, eventually I realized how ignorant this person was, so I just...
You saw where it was coming from.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming from ignorance, so you can't really you can't really give that person...
Or you can't compete with ignorance.
You can't.
You're never going to win.
So
they always win.
So exactly. And yeah. I mean, you just sort of brush it off.
Yeah, I like to remember the example we give. You know, think of it being in a mental asylum, and you're the doctor.
Yeah.
So you're just going there for a period of time, right? And they might want your help, and they might not want it, but you don't take it personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you can even make a comment, but, you know, if they don't take it personally, hey, you walk away, right? You know, they're still in the insane asylum.
Yeah.
And you're not.
It's usually, I mean, when somebody is like that towards you, I mean, you kind of have to figure something's wrong with that person, too. I mean, they might have all kinds of frustrations, and they're putting them on me.
Yeah, and also they suffer from their own nature, which is something people don't realize.
And like you said, do not adopt it. Do not make it yours.
Right.
Just see it, like you said, like the doctor aspect. They're a patient. They're out there.
Exactly. You're doing that, right? And remember, everybody is your own punishment. Everyone is your own reward.
Mm-hmm.
So your nature dictates who you really are and how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
So those people that are angry and whatever they are, they're suffering much more than you can make them suffer, right?
Exactly.
By retaliation.
They
just want to infect you. I see in society when we walk through life, like a lot of people that are negative, like that's their task, to throw that and spill that on others that are not. Why are you so happy? Bro, why not, man? I'm breathing.
Right, it's your nature, right? You enjoy your nature, right?
Yeah.
And being a positive person. So one thing, Myra, the new generation, you know, how do you see that? You know, whether it's Latinos or people here, you know, what would you like to see in that future?
Well, I've mentioned it before. I would like for us to emphasize education in our...
A priority.
As a priority. I think it will do a lot for our people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that why the parents bring the kids here anyways, for education? Or does that get lost somewhere along the line?
It's hard because, like, when I came here, my parents were always working.
Yeah.
Children, they need so much attention, even when they're in the tummy.
Mm-hmm.
The more attention you give them, the more
love they grow.
The more love. They need so much stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, you know, the first 3 years, they learn so much. But sometimes we just sort of like, we don't think of babies that way. So we just kind of...
I think a big factor that happens in our community, the immigrant community and the Latino community, I speak for myself and for people that have been around me, is that we're so busy making a living because we don't have our parents didn't have the tools to be greater and are just limited to that compound salary to this amount. And they're just producing for the family because they'll sacrifice their lives and their dreams for the us, kids, right? For the kids.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, that creates frustration because there's no family time. There's no this, there's no that.
Right.
So it's very tough because you have to learn to be an adult at a very young age.
Yeah,
at 3 years old, you're making your own tortillas. Come on.
You told me you used to work at a young age, right? You were selling, I don't know, what were you doing?
I started at 12. I used to work with my brother doing construction on the weekend.
Right.
So because
you know the story.
I always wanted to be, you know, I always wanted to have money in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I started selling newspapers door to door. I became a sales guy.
Right.
From there, over the summer, I would clean the streets for like nonprofit groups. So I did various jobs.
Right. It's always good. I mean, you become an entrepreneur. I mean, today, right?
Yeah.
You know, you have our own company and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a challenge too, because you can you can give up education for that easy money, right?
Yeah. But that's the key. In my case, and I think in your case, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Our family sacrificed so much, and I saw their sacrifice that I said, I cannot say no to an education because this is the key that's going to get me to the next level, and I'm going to bring them with me.
Mm-hmm.
And little by little, I keep spreading the seeds and teaching them that it's about different values, not just about work.
It's about learning, right?
Yeah.
And improving.
The last generation, I understand, like my parents, your parents, I understand that they had to work really hard to pay rent. There's so many responsibilities. But this new generation, I would hope that they're you know, they have that opportunity to give more time to their kids.
And they're more proactive.
Just give more time to your kids. It's very simple. Like when my brother was born, I was 16. And I started reading to him since he was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And now he reads pretty much every day.
Wow.
And that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed that because he likes to read, it's easier for him to learn. Because he can read anything.
Mm-hmm.
And some kids don't want to read instructions when they have their little homeworks. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. It's really simple.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
So time and knowledge is the greatest gift of all, right?
You know, and
time, and of course love, right, which comes with that too, right?
And definitely. Realigning your thoughts on how the perception of life and seeing what works, like you said, education is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So time, love, and education. What else do we need, right?
Yeah.
And a few tacos thrown around.
Definitely.
Myra, it's been a pleasure having you today. This
Thank
is a wonderful opportunity, right, Nachin?
Yes, definitely.
To bring this young lady
It here brought with, back memories on my case, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I realized he was a little kid with your poncho or something.
Yeah. No, do you see Dr. Avila? He's like the typical guy. All Mexicans are like this.
This guy's a little too much fun. Is there any last words you want to say to anybody listening out here today?
I would just like to say we can't put restrictions on our dreams just because we have all these systems everywhere telling us what to do, what not to do. You know what? Pretend they're not there. Let's sometimes do that, you know, because they were... There's so many things out there that you don't realize what potential are the human brain has a potential to do so much. It's beyond what we can imagine.
It's walking without the fears then.
Yeah, walk without the fears. Pretend that these things are not happening. I don't know. Figure out a way to
They're just thoughts. At the end of the day, it's whatever you choose to have in your program and your computer be playing.
So Mara's like that quiet student. At the end of the semester, she... opens up, right? Gets an A, right? And starts debating in class, right?
Yeah.
Shall we give her an A today?
Let's give her an A.
A
definitely.
Today.
Yeah. Wonderful. Myra, thank you so much for stopping at Love University.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Tell your friends, please subscribe and share because at the end of the day, it's a conversation. We talk about love, and love conquers it all, but love is in every layer of society.
Every different aspect, you know. And the idea that, you know, love permeates everything, and to give love without expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I want to give my number out to those people that might have immigrant families that need help psychologically and also through these programs. 310-226-8090. Our email for questions and things. There's lovetype, LOVETYPE, number 4U@AOL. And Nachin, there's a special announcement we want to make today.
Mm-hmm.
Something's coming up. It's going to be extremely exciting.
It's going to be great. A great opportunity for people to mingle and enjoy each other.
We have our first upcoming Networking with Love event.
I was going to do a commercial about
it. Yeah, go for it.
He's stopping the inspiration. It's like a girl when you're kissing and she's like, stop.
Wait a minute.
Oh, doctor.
It's a little bit out of control.
You took away my excitement.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay,
it's yours.
You can fill it in.
Take it.
So Networking with Love will be Friday, 7 p.m., December 1st at a very nice place called Classic Rock Cafe in the city of Fullerton.
Yeah, here in California.
California. So we're going to basically be mixing with people, interacting with professionals, singles, whatever you want to do. Basically, Networking with Love for friendship, business, or romance. And we're going to have icebreakers and even the love seat. Tell people about that.
It's a surprise where you can come by and you're going to be able to interact with us. I'll be hosting and Dr. Avila will be also hosting with me. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have like a mini session where you can discover your strengths and become a better lover, not just about relationship-wise, but becoming a better lover of life in every aspect, business, family. And we're not there to preach, you know?
Definitely. It'll be, you know, coffee, wine, meals, you know, whatever
music.
People want. Music. You know? Yeah. And just fun, you know, basically fun and connection.
Because do you have the address again, Dr. Avila?
Yeah, it's going to be on Harbor Boulevard in the city of Fullerton. Mm-hmm. So that's December 1st. Make sure you mark your calendars. Also, if they want to email us to RSVP, because we're going to have a full house.
Yeah.
They can again email us at lovetypeforyou@aol.com, LOVETYPE, number 4, letter U.
Definitely. Or if you want to find me on Instagram, at Nachingon, NACHINGON, send me a direct message, and I'll be happy to reply to you. And
definitely,
we're here to help you out as we help each other.
That's true. So Love University, class is dismissed. Let's go to recess.
Let's roll. Vámonos.
All right.